I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. This week, Hall of Fame linebacker Ray Lewis offered his take on the controversy surrounding New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. "Where there's no God," he said, "there's chaos." Lewis also said that Beckham, quote, "has removed God from his life." And that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Julie DeCaro, update anchor and host at Chicago's 670 The Score, and by A. Martinez, host of KPCC's Take Two. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Julie, I understand you have some thoughts about Ray Lewis's remarks.
I do. I am here today to humbly beg the sports world to stop soliciting opinions from Hall of Fame linebacker Ray Lewis. Earlier this week, Lewis, who had been sort of an amateur preacher since retiring from the game after the 2012 season, offered up his opinion on Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. OBJ was in a video that went viral a few weeks back. He was seen in bed with a woman, a large pizza, and I mean, who among us? And what could have been possibly marijuana or cocaine, but it was really hard to tell. And that, coupled with OBJ's demands for a new contract, prompted Lewis to weigh in with the assessment that where there's no God, there is chaos. Ray Lewis then goes on to ramble about OBJ hanging out with Justin Timberlake and then revealed what is probably the true motivation behind his rant, that Odell Beckham Jr. stopped taking Ray Lewis's calls. Look, I'm tired of the constant innuendo about OBJ's private life, but it's especially galling coming from Ray Lewis, who, as we all recall, was charged with the double homicide back in the early 2000s following a post-Super Bowl party fight. Now, granted, Lewis has a history of terrible takes on social issues, but they all boil down to his sanctimonious lectures about what God wants and who's godly enough, which begs the question, why does anyone ever ask Ray Lewis's opinion on anything? If he's going to be foist upon us, let's have him stick to X's and O's and leave his opinions on people's private lives out of it.
Are you going to join Julie in assuming that Mr. Lewis should not be consulted on matters beyond X's and O's?
Well, the thing is, Ray Lewis has always worn his faith on his sleeve. It's kind of it's what you know him for. So I don't understand why anyone is surprised that he would inject God, religion, faith in what he does. At its core, discussing Odell Beckham Jr. is an X's and O's conversation. But for Ray Lewis, clearly, it also means that he has to add God into the mix. Like God's trying to cover OBJ in some way. I don't think God could cover Odell Beckham Jr. one-on-one. But that's part of what he does. It's his shtick. And if people get upset if I call religion a shtick, that's exactly what it is for Ray Lewis. And if you see it in those lenses or with those lenses, then I think people won't be as upset as some have.
I remember reading at some point that Albert Einstein said, "I want to know the thoughts of God. The rest are mere details." He said, "I want to know the thoughts of God," not "I know the thoughts of God, and I'm ready to tell you what they are and what the consequences are if you don't pay attention to the way I think you should have God in your life." I'm very uncomfortable with people who feel that it's their responsibility to tell other people how they should live their lives. And I'm going to leave it at that, Julie, and let you wrap it up, because I think we've probably made enough people uncomfortable and angry already.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with A, that it is his shtick, and it's a thing that he pulls out every time he seems to not know what to say. But, I mean, given the fact that, you know, the white suit that Ray Lewis was wearing when these guys were murdered was never found, he admitted to lying to the police. Just dial it down a little bit, and maybe don't go off on the moral relativism of other people's life choices.
A, let's move on to your topic, since I think we've covered this one pretty thoroughly.
All right, so Darius Bakley, he is a 6'9" wing player. It's kind of a guard slash forward. And he is one of the best high school basketball players in the country. He had committed to the University of Syracuse. He just decided to decommit to Syracuse. He will not be going to college. He will instead sign in the NBA's G League. Now, that's causing a bit of a stir because this is the first high-profile player that has decided to sign with the NBA's minor league. And it's got people wondering exactly what this means for college basketball, what this means for the NBA's developmental league as well. And it makes you wonder, Bill and Julie, if at some point, are colleges just going to be filled with people who want to be in college? The horror, right? The horror that that could actually be the case, that people actually want to be there because they want to be college students. So the NCAA now has a bit of a problem how to make themselves more attractive so that kids like Darius decide to go to college. And the NBA is now realizing that, heck, you know what? We've got to figure out a way to structure this where we don't seem like we're siphoning off the best high school players away from colleges like Syracuse and Duke. So it's been kind of an uncomfortable relationship, but with Darius Blakely deciding to defect, now all of a sudden it's right there in front of everyone's faces.
Julie, are you similarly concerned that one day people will go to college in order to go to college rather than to play basketball?
Look, I went to Indiana. I'm a huge college basketball fan, but something's got to give, right? I mean, something has got to change. This huge scandal's unfolding. We've got these guys are working like pro athletes, yet they're not being paid at all, and the school's making millions off them. I had sort of hoped that the HBCU college track thing would sort of take off, where a lot of the top athletes would go to historically black colleges and universities. They would tell the NCAA where to get off, and then guys could be paid. They could do endorsement deals. But I think the G League is a great alternative. And I'm not a person who minds seeing college talent at a lesser level than the NBA. I know that bothers a lot of people. They say that, you know, college basketball is just not as good as the NBA. Of course it's not. They're college players. And so if we have guys going to wind up with guys, you know, in college who actually want to be there to study and are true student athletes, I'm all for that.
When I first became aware of this story, I assumed that Darius Bazley couldn't find a university with a sufficiently wealthy booster organization, which certainly would have paid him much more than the G League would. But maybe it would be the very best thing that could happen to college basketball and maybe even college football if they were rendered less significant on the landscape by arrangements like this.
And here's the thing, too. You have an option where no one cares that a bunch of high school baseball players decide to sign professional contracts when they turn 18 and wind up going to the minor league. So now if this winds up to be the way it goes for high-level high school basketball players, then at least you know exactly what they're there to do. They're 18, they're adults, they can make money off of their skills, and if they want to go to college, then you know they're there because they want to be there. So I think it's a win-win if this winds up to be the way it goes going forward.
I want to turn the clock back at least to start. 20 summers ago, Mark McGwire hit 70 home runs, and his season-long home run hitting contest with Sammy Sosa was very exciting, and everybody was cheering both of them, or at least one of the two. And then it became apparent that McGwire's production had been, in part at least, fueled by performance-enhancing drugs. This week, we learned that McGwire had told Jason Stark of The Athletic that absolutely I could have hit all those home runs without any steroids at all. I don't have any idea whether he could have hit all those home runs without any steroids at all. I am intrigued that he's now saying that he could have. And I wonder, is he making a case for eventually getting into the Hall of Fame? He's 54 years old now. Is he trying to recreate himself for posterity? He had a very solid big league career. His numbers are his numbers. How many people does he think care what he took 20 years ago to hit 70 home runs, eh?
Well, clearly he thinks that people do care, and clearly he cares what people think about him. Now, he is correct in that, look, he's always had power. I remember he was a first baseman at USC hitting home runs. He had 49 home runs as a rookie with the Oakland A's before there was a whiff of him taking anything like steroids. Mm-hmm. If he decides for a baseball season in his prime and say, I'm going to swing for the fences 500 times, I think someone with his power probably could hit 70 home runs, maybe could hit 80 home runs. But that's not how sports works. He has to play within the team concept. He has to try and win games. Once in a while, he has to swing for a single as opposed to a home run. So if that's all he's there to do for an entire season, sure, 70, 80, 90, whatever. But in the realistic team sports kind of concept, that won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think he cares what people think because he's not going into the Hall of Fame, at least not, you know, unless he gets inducted by the Old Timers Committee at some point. But he got 12.3% of the vote in 2017. His 10 years are up. And, you know, one thing we know about these guys is they do care about how they're remembered by history. You know, I don't doubt that he has the power to hit 70 home runs, but how long would he have lasted realistically had he not been taking things to help him recover, to help him heal, to help him stay in the game? I mean, I think that Barry Bonds gets a pass to some extent because we all feel he would have been a Hall of Famer without having taken any PEDs. But Mark McGwire doesn't necessarily get that benefit of the doubt. So, I mean, he can talk all he wants, but the fact is he didn't do it.
It's going to be another topic for another day, whether Barry Bonds gets a pass, and I can't wait to climb onto that one. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Julie DeCaro, update anchor and host at Chicago's 670 The Score, and A. Martinez, host of KPCC's Take Two. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.